Happy New Year. You are listening to another episode of On The Topic. This is one of my favourite episodes of the year. We're kicking things off, and we're kicking it off right. I'm Dan.
And I've got a list, and I'm checking it twice. Oh, wait, no, that's...
Christmas.
But anyway, I'm Alex, and yes, we've got our annual most anticipated, Dan.
It's honestly one of my favourite episodes of the year, and I'll tell you why. It's not because we get to discuss what we're looking forward to.
But we do.
But we get to talk about yours as well, the listener, and that's what makes it all the more exciting.
Oh, definitely. It's phenomenal. And it's not just about, you know, the usual stuff that we rabbit on about here on there on OTT. It's anything that you guys want to share with us. And we've had weddings and we've had holidays. During COVID, it was people going out and talking to each other and seeing each other. It was anything and everything, and people's hopes and dreams for the 12 months ahead. And it's a nice way kind of to look back on what we've done in prior years, right?
Oh, for sure.
And to that point, Dan, should you talk about what we talked about in 23?
Yeah, I didn't prepare for this. So if you've got questions for me, don't expect me
to
ask them.
I've got plenty of questions as per usual. But last year, Dan, this is some of what we talked about. And listener.
Yeah.
So films, we talked about John Wick Chapter 4.
I still haven't finished it.
Dan, finish it.
I will. I was really struggling
with
this one.
About to flip a desk. to be fair, I watched it on the plane back from our summer holidays. It was okay.
Yeah.
Just okay.
That's what I mean.
It's still fun, but it was okay. But we talked about that, and that was on the 24th of March released. I mentioned about You People, a Netflix film. Comedy. With Eddie Murphy, Jonah Hill, Lauren London, David Duchovny.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
Quite good.
I liked the list.
I quite enjoyed it. We talked about Ant-Man 4. Ant-Man 4?
Ant-Man 3.
Ant-Man 3, Quantumania. 17th of Feb.
Which we did go see at the cinema. We did an on-the-go episode. We reviewed it, and it was just...
Meh.
Mid-tier. It was meh.
We talked about Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, part 1. 14th of July, it was released.
Again, on-the-go episode. You can go listen to that right now. You can listen to our full... spoilery review.
We probably should stop doing that because I'm going to have an absolute nightmare. You know, on YouTube where it comes up with the video links flashing at the top of the screen. You can see it now, listener, if you go onto YouTube. I'm going to have a pain in the back because I'm linking all this stuff. But anyway, it's fine. It's all for good reasons. As we've been talking, no doubt on the screen, you can click on those links and you can stream it on YouTube or you can have a look at the episode description below. But yeah, we really enjoyed and liked Dead Reckoning Part 1.
We did.
Part 2 this year.
Buzzing.
Spoiler alert, it's on my list.
I forgot it on my list, and I don't know how.
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
Mind you forgot a game, which I put on the list, so.
But we don't have it this year. But we'll talk about
true.
That. We talked about Meg 2, which was on the 4th of August it was released.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. Bonkers. Bad shit. He picks up a helicopter blade and shears one through the head. I mean, humanly speaking, Jason Statham cannot do that. No. A helicopter blade... although it flexes, it's too heavy, but he does it like a toothpick, and it's phenomenal.
We're not going to forget the imploding head either, are we?
Oh no, that was gross.
That was
just
grim.
When you think that she said it's fine, they're going to do it.
Boof, boof. I mean, that didn't age well, did it? Considering what happened at the time.
Yeah, just a mere couple of weeks later. Anyway, Lucy the Fallen Sun. I haven't seen that, but that was released March 23. So that's one thing I haven't checked off. We've got loads of honourable mentions. I won't go through those. TV streams. We talked about Secret Invasion.
Meh.
Extraordinary. I thought it was quite good. It was a British comedy, do you remember?
No.
Where the girl hasn't got the powers, but everyone else has.
Oh, yes. No, we did watch that. And that was fantastic.
It was January.
That was
really good.
Very good.
Very good.
Disney
very
Plus.
Dark Disney Plus. Prime. The Continental. Have you started watching that? Based on John Wick
John
Universe.
Wick, no.
It's a prequel. That's quite good. Netflix, I talked about Kaleidoscope, Lupin Season 3, Gaming, Hogwarts Legacy, great. Interesting enough, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, been pushed back to this year.
Yeah.
I talked about it last year.
They want to release a game that's...
apparently polished and...
polished, yeah. Which makes sense, because no one wants a half-assed game.
Well, most games these days are half-assed, but yeah, quite.
Yeah, we don't talk about Avengers.
No. Scarred. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, brilliant, good. That was March. Spider-Man 2 just released, that was fantastic. Redfall, that bombed almost on release.
Oof.
The Wolf Among Us 2, that was never released, and we don't know when it's going to be. These are just some of the things that we talked about. And actually, I think from that list, maybe 2/3 actually ends up being pretty good.
Mm.
Due to no one's fault, but just we're looking forward to it. But should we talk about what we're looking forward to in 2024, Dan?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you kick us off?
Let's do it. Where do you want to start?
Wherever you want.
Let's start with films.
Love it.
I've got, I think, 6. I'll kick things off with Godzilla Kong.
Oh, I did see this.
The New Empire, 12th of April 2024. Now, this is a sequel to Godzilla vs. Kong from 2021, which was all right. It's not bad.
No, it's okay, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And the 7th installment and the 5th film in the Monsterverse. It's going to be starring Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Dan Stevens, Kaylee Hottle, Alex Ferns, and Fala Chen. Oh, we're nailing the names today, aren't we?
You've done very well, mate.
The latest entry follows up the explosive showdown of Godzilla versus Kong with an all-new cinematic adventure pitting the almighty Kong and the fearsome Godzilla against a colossal undiscovered threat hidden within our world, challenging their very existence and our own.
Ooh.
The epic new film will delve further into the histories of these titans, their origins, and the mysteries of Skull Island and beyond, while uncovering the mythic battle that helped forge these extraordinary beings and tied them to humankind forever.
Are you a Godzilla fan?
I don't mind it. 1998 is an absolute classic. My missus loves it, but my missus loves Godzilla.
Going deeper underground. Is that the one?
I think so.
Well, you've got, was it P. Diddy? He had a track to go along with, didn't he? They went absolute all in on Godzilla. I don't think the film was particularly good.
The 1998 one?
Yeah. And they end up going underground, and there's like all the... Is there eggs or something? I don't remember.
It's in
really weird.
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
I really enjoyed it.
I'll tell you what, though. What I really enjoyed was Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, it's a great film.
That's brilliant.
It's got Brie Larson.
Brie Larson's phenomenal. T-Hits. Yeah, T-Hits in it.
Samuel.
He is.
He was in it. He was the villain.
He was. He does a really good villain.
Yeah.
So I'm not massively looking forward to it, but I'm more than mildly intrigued. I don't know where I am on that spectrum then, Dan, and listener, but it should be good.
Yeah.
Everyone likes a massive, gigantic silverback, or whatever it is, big monkey, rampaging, and everyone likes Godzilla who can roar and breathe fire or plasma or something.
Apparently, what's the latest film that's out? Godzilla Minus One?
Yeah, on, is it TV? Amazon TV?
No, this one was a film. There is one on Apple TV, though. You're right.
Monarch.
It was a series because it's got Kurt Russell and his son
Monarch.
In it.
Yeah.
But no, apparently this, like, Godzilla Minus One slaps.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be really good.
Okay.
I want to see both, so.
See all?
Yeah, just add it to my watch list for the rest of the year.
Why not?
Because we've got plenty more to look forward to, apparently.
Sure, certainly have. That's your first one up, is it?
Yeah, that's my first one. Hit me. Not literally.
Okay. 2nd of February.
Yep.
2024 this year. Argyle.
Don't know if I've heard of this.
Confused look, listener.
Yeah.
Doesn't really transfer through on the medium of audio.
Sometimes Alex will throw left field stuff at me and he'll be like, oh, this is on Netflix. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't really like delve that deep.
Yep. Indeed.
Stuff like that.
A writer named Ellie Conway, who's played by Bryce Dallas Howard.
I like Bryce.
We do. Has been churning out best-selling novels about a super spy named Agent Argyle, who's played by Henry Cavs.
Ah, oh, my boy.
He's got like a buzz cut, and he's very chiseled. Looks very different, Dan, because he's got facial hair these days. He's a moustache because he's in something, or he's got a beard. No, he's fully polished. Looks very odd, doesn't look like himself. Who makes James Bond seem like an amateur. It turns out her latest book happens to mirror a real-life espionage situation a little too closely. However, which puts this woman of letters in the crosshairs of various intelligence agencies. Kingsman series director Matthew Vaughn fills this action comedy with an A-list of who's who. Apparently, Dua Lipa's in it.
Oh.
Good musician, not sure how she acts. Samuel L. Jackson's in it. Brian Cranston's in it. Sam Rockwell's in it. Catherine O'Hara is. John Cena. Is it John Cena? John Cena?
John Cena.
John Cena?
Yep.
Ariana DeBose. Now, it is an all-star cast. If it wasn't enough that you had Bryce and you had Henry. The tagline is, once you know the secret, don't let the cat out of the bag, which means that apparently there's a big reveal here. something that a certain contingent of superfans have some very intense thoughts about. But it's maybe it's a bit of slapstick comedy, spy thrillery, larger than life, but it's got a super lineup of A-listers. Very expensive, but if you've got Matthew Vaughn in there, who wrote and directed the Kingsman, which are brilliant films,
yeah.
Taron Egerton, then you know this is going to be good. So it's called Argyle. I think there must be a trailer out by now. It looks really, really good, and I'm looking forward to that.
I'll have to check that out.
That's my pick for earlier this year.
Second up for me is Inside Out 2, which is on 4th of June 2024.
Got this as my honourable mention.
Nice.
Yep.
Inside Out 2 was first announced in September 2022 during the D23 Expo. Expos, didn't we?
Yeah.
Inside Out 2 returns to the mind of newly minted teenager Riley, just as headquarters is undergoing a sudden demolition to make room for something entirely unexpected.
Uh-oh.
New emotions.
Yep.
We will have joy, sadness, anger, fear and disgust, who've long been running a successful operation by all accounts. Aren't sure how to feel when anxiety shows up.
Played by Maya Hawke.
And it looks like she's not alone.
Nope.
But yeah, I saw the first one in the cinema back in 2015, I think it came out.
So good.
Went over to Ireland with my other half to see her family. We took her niece and we all loved it. Just a really nice day out in... I can't remember where we went now. It's up the road from Yule. But yeah, we went out, we went to cinema, got a McDonald's, went home and just chilled, yeah.
Cracking. Interesting fun fact. Apparently, counsellors or social workers actually use, in order to talk to children about their emotions, the film Inside Out, because apparently it's a perfect depiction. And you can relate to it, and adults and children alike, when they watch the film, can relate to it, I'm sure. I certainly did. They use it as a way to describe how children are feeling, and you know, things, these emotions are fine and okay, but this is what can happen.
Yeah.
Apparently it's like scientifically, psychologically spot on. So I'm really interested to see how they deal with some quite complex emotions, and it's set 2 years later than the first film.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, looking forward to that one.
That's my honourable mention. Okay, this one, Dan, I got a couple I really don't know. It's Madame Web.
I wasn't a fan when I saw the trailer.
I don't know.
Looks a bit weird.
14th of Feb, Valentine's Day.
Is that our date night?
It's going to have to be. Sony adds another notch in its Spider-Verse Velt, with its story of a paramedic, played by Dakota Johnson, who suddenly discovers she has clairvoyant powers.
Sounds a bit mutant-y.
Yeah. They can't use the N-word, though. They don't own it.
No.
She also herself connected to three young women, who's Sydney Sweeney, Celeste O'Connor, and Isabella Merced, as well as a mysterious villain, which is Tahar Rahim, who look a lot like your friendly neighbourhood Spider-Man's evil twin. I can already sense the anguish of the incels crying into their keyboards as they're furiously trying to review bomb this before it's even been released.
Oddly, a lot of people were chiming up saying, this looks better than the Marvels,
which we both know we loved.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Dan, the Sony Spider-Verse without Tom Holland, I said this before, it's an unpopular opinion, I don't like the Venom films. I don't think they're well casted. I don't like the way they're depicted, Venom. I preferred Sam Raimi's.
Yeah.
That was canon. That worked. Again, I'm not going to take to my keyboard and start bashing out hate, but I'm really not interested. That's why, although I'm mentioning it now only because of this film, I haven't even mentioned Venom 3, which is due out this year.
Yeah.
I have not a care in the world.
You got Kraven as well, which is due out.
I have got that in my honourable mention.
Who's the actor?
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
That was it. He was Quicksilver, wasn't he, in Age of Ultron? Parked it.
He did. So I've got some reservations, Dan and listener, about this one. I've added it on there because I have intrigue, and because Sony own the Spidey IP, I think it'd be a real misstep to not have it placed somewhere in some version. But then the question is, well, what multiverse is it? Is it 616? Well, I don't think they own 616.
No, that's an MCU thing. But then they've always referred to 616 in the Sonyverse as something completely different. They referenced it in Across the Spider-Verse as something completely different. Because I think it's Spider-Man 2099. He says something about Doctor Strange and that little brat from Earth, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, it could be from Garfield's. It seems like that would be a logical place to... I don't know. Who knows? So, hesitant, mildly interested, but I put it in there because I want to keep my eye on it.
We've both said it, though. Since No Way Home, we would love to see another Garfield film.
Right? I think a lot of people are calling for it. There was a script already ready for 3 and they pulled it. And we know that Garfield really enjoyed it, as did Maguire in No Way Home. So let's see. But yeah, Madam Web, Valentine's Day, don't go to dinner, perhaps go to the cinema and watch this one.
Come join us.
Yes.
Don't know what my missus is going to say. By the way, I'm going to go see Madam Web with Alex at the cinema.
But happy Valentine's Day.
The flowers aren't for you.
Dinner's in the oven. Oh, I'll get flowers.
You get flowers.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man.
And chocolates.
Oh, I've got to think about a present now for you.
Don't tell the missus. Well, but she'll probably listen to this anyway. So.
Then you're in trouble.
Sorry.
Not sorry. What's on your list then?
Well, this will come as no surprise. Twisters, 19th of July.
Oh, yeah, it's a follow-up.
Because we know that I have a disaster film.
But will you get drunk the day before and then go in with a hangover to watch it?
I'm too old for that now. Far too old.
Alright, do it 2 days before and then you have a 2 day hangover.
That's pretty much what happened when I watched Volcano on Christmas Eve of 2006.
Oh right.
So I had my 21st birthday 2 days later. Well, I had my 21st birthday 2 days after my actual birthday, got absolutely stinking shit faced and had a hangover for 2 days, and on Christmas Eve absolutely suffering. And Volcano was on the TV. I don't know if I ever explain that story in...
I think you did, yeah. Disaster movies, yeah.
It's a good episode to go back and revisit.
That's another tag I had to put on bloody YouTube, Dan. You're killing me here.
Sorry about that.
Come on. It's a really good episode, well done.
Twisters is an upcoming disaster film directed by Lee Isaac Chung from a screenplay by Mark L. Smith, produced by Frank Marshall and Patrick Crowley. Is a standalone sequel of the 1996 film Twister, which is brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, blinder.
The film stars Daisy Edgar-Jones, Glenn Powell and Anthony Ramos, but that's all we know at the moment.
Am I?
That's literally all I could dig up and find. However, I love a disaster film.
You do?
I like Twisters. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. I would love to go tornado hunting in the States.
Oh, really?
Mrs. won't let me.
For good reason.
Yeah, it's quite dangerous, isn't it?
Get dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But yes, that is it. That is my third choice.
My third, Dan, is Ghostbusters.
Oh,
Frozen Empire.
The recent reboot was fantastic.
I really enjoyed it. I finished it off the other day. It took me a long time, admittedly. I thought it did... It was a spiritual successor to the original films, but did a modern take on it. I thought the whole cast were fantastic. I think they all brought something. I don't think there were any kind of bum notes, and I really enjoyed it. I think it breathed, again, excuse the pun, new life into this franchise, and I liked the nods at the end. You could not have the originals and the ghost.
Really pays homage, like, really well.
Yeah. This one's out on 29th of March. When some superhero, damn, a listener, supernatural forces unleash something known as the Death Chill, which scares people to death and threatens to unleash a new ice age in New York City. Well, who are you going to call? Jason Reitman's sequel to his 2021 reboot, Requel. Ghostbusters Afterlife brings back the film's next-gen paranormal investigators. Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace. That's some of the OG's franchise. Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson, Annie Potts for another round of busting ghosts. Patton Oswalt and Kumali Nanjiani drop by as well. I don't think there's an awful lot to say about this. in New York City, because the other one was in a dusty southern state, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Which was a nice change. This is back in the Big Apple. We see in the trailer, at least, the old Ghostbusters building, the old fire station.
Been past that, actually, on a bus tour. Went to New York in 2016.
Was it actually a fire station? Originally, or did they just leave it?
It did look like a sort of typical fire station.
Okay. Interesting. Well, yeah, I mean, as I say, I don't think there's too much to say in it. I think it's going to be much the same with more nostalgia, and hopefully they'll be able to fully run on their feet after this one. Because when you kind of reintroduce yourself to the old characters with something new, and then you've gone back to, with all the puns today, listening, Dan, all the old haunts, pun definitely intended, what's next for the franchise? And they've got to be able to run on their own feet. So
trailer looks fantastic.
It looks really good.
Really
so
good.
So yeah, 29th of March, Dan and listener, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire for me.
And what a perfect place to set a disaster film. New York.
Go figure.
Yeah. So my next choice, really left field, but I saw this at the theatre back in 2017. It was a late Christmas present with my missus. Yeah. Wicked, which is out on November 27th.
Okay.
Big fan.
I haven't heard of this. What, is this a film adaptation of the musical?
I believe it is.
Okay.
So Wicked, also known as Wicked Part 1. So I don't know if it was formerly known as Wicked Part 1. I don't know whether they managed to squeeze it all into one film or if the second film's been anything different. I don't really know. It's an upcoming musical fantasy film directed by John M. Chu and a screenplay by Winnie Holzman and Stephen Schwartz. It is the first of a two-part film adaptation of Holzman's and Schwartz's stage musical Wicked, which is based on the 1995 novel Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West by Gregory Maguire, and characters from the 1900 novel The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by Frank Baum, and its 1939 film adaption.
Wow.
The film stars Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande.
Ooh.
Again, we talked about pop stars in films.
Yeah.
Good voices, but can they act?
Can they?
Good backup cast as well. So we've got Jonathan Bailey, Ethan Slater, our favourite, Jeff Goldblum.
No.
Yep, he's in it.
Good
and
man.
Michelle Yeoh in supporting roles. Set in the land of Oz, the film revolves around Elphaba.
Oh.
Been on the red wine.
Yeah.
A green-skinned woman, and explores the path that leads her to become the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh, so it's an origin story.
Mm.
Apparently, well, it's still in theatres, on stages, so it must still be doing very well. And apparently, everyone raves about it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So
good.
But would it transfer over, though, to the film medium?
Who knows? Sometimes musicals don't tend to do well in film form, but...
I mean, famously,
look at
Sound of Music, that bombed, didn't it?
Oh yeah, absolute classic.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it'll be fine. Okay, interesting. I haven't seen the musical, so I might get on this soon if I like it. Perhaps go and see the musical. Might do it the other way around. I've got no notes next to this, purposefully, because we don't know an awful lot about it, Dan.
Just
26th of July.
Ah, I've got the wrong date, but I think I know where you're going.
Tell me.
Deadpool 3?
Deadpool.
Yeah, it got pushed back, didn't it? Because I've got the 3rd of May.
Yes, got pushed back. Writer's strike. So even then, though, at the time of recording and publishing this episode, they've only got 6 months to finish filming, edit, post, and market it. That seems really tight.
I think people will want it, though.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think we definitely will want it. And it's the only MCU film this year.
It is, yeah.
But is that long enough? I mean, Ryan Reynolds know what he's doing. Kevin Feige is going to basically bank off this because of the recent box office for Ant-Man and from the Marvels. Rightly or wrongly, we talked about that at length recently. But is that enough time? They've basically got to finish now in order to... I don't know.
Because I know due to the writer strikes, he had done a lot of the work, but he could only stick to the script.
Correct.
He
couldn't ad-lib.
Whereas now the strikes are over,
he excels.
He can now go in and do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah. It might be reshoots that they're more. Maybe that's all they're doing now is reshoots. But I mean, the writer strike, and I think we'll talk about this and as we go or at the end, we'll put a lot of this stuff back. And I don't know whether. I don't know. They've kind of set to it, haven't they?
Yeah.
And then, can they find another window this year? I don't know.
I did get some notes, though.
Okay.
The film is being directed by Sean Levy from a script by the writing team of Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, as well as Zeb Wells, who interestingly writes comics for Marvel. Ryan Reynolds. Reynolds stars as Wade Wilson, Deadpool, along Hugh Jackman, Morena Baccarin, Brianna Hildebrand, and interestingly, I don't know if this is true or not, but Jennifer Garner?
Yeah, apparently Elektra's back. Yeah. I remember watching that in the cinema. Oh, God. 2002? I want to say. It was fucking garbage. I wanted it so bad, Dan, because I wanted them to expand on the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Daredevil was okay. I think it had a good, interesting... They kind of did what Spider-Man did afterwards. Or before. After? Before? After. And they had a soundtrack, and it's very well marketed, and, you know, there were things, promotions out in fast food and all the magazines and stuff. But it wasn't great. I don't mind the film. It has John Favs in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, John Favs was in it. A very young John Favs.
Very, very young. I thought Ben Affleck was okay. So when I then saw Elektra, I thought, now, Jennifer Garner, she's got acting chops, man.
Yeah.
She's in Alias. Do you ever watch any of the Alias stuff?
Yeah, on Sky? Briefly.
The spy espionage, pretty good. Really enjoyed it. So I thought, I'm going to enjoy this. Fucking garbage. I came out going, that was a hot fucking stinking mess. What did I just watch? I think it's like quite long as well. Felt freaking forever. I don't think it was that long, like 2 hours or something, but it felt like four. I was like, nah, man, I'm just not into this.
I feel like that's an episode title in itself for us to visit one day.
Yeah.
That film was a hot fucking stinking mess.
That's a soundbite for our year review. I hope it's not that. But anyway, yes, I think she's going to be in it, albeit fleetingly, which is really interesting.
Mind you, start to get images now of people photoshopping other things in. So, like, other actors. And
Yeah.
Some of the stuff
exactly.
is ridiculous, so.
Yeah. I don't know, we'll see.
It's becoming so convoluted now. You don't know what's real and what isn't.
No, but what we do know is Jackman's in it, and he's in his suit, and he looks bloody awesome. And that's what we've waited for 20 years now? Or something? Too long.
Yeah.
So, about time, really. Looking forward to it, Dan. So that's all my main ones. I have got two honourable mentions, but I think you must have, by my bad maths, two more.
I've got one more.
One more.
We've covered Deadpool, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So my final choice goes to, when my phone behaves, Knives Out 3.
Oh, is it?
Doesn't have a release date yet.
Oh.
So it might not actually necessarily come out this year.
Okay.
I might be wrong. But I've got some notes. The second Knives Out movie, Glass Onion, hit Netflix in December 22.
I thought it was good.
Yeah. Not as good as the first one.
No.
But it was all right. It was good. That was a...
Was it all right or was it good?
Let's
the
go
first one was great.
Yes.
Second one. Good?
Good.
Good.
Rian Johnson has given an update on the status of the third film, saying, "It's coming along. I obviously couldn't work during the strike, and now it's over. I'm driving in full force, and so it's coming along."
So I've got a quick question, Dan. Put a pin in that. If you are a writer and you love doing this, are you really going to stop? Publicly, you can't say you're working. But are you ever going to stop? Who's gonna come knocking your door saying, "Dan, are you writing? Stop writing, you're on strike." Like, that's just nonsense. He's obviously bashed it out and gone...
Bashed it out.
You all know what I'm talking about.
He might have been.
Probably. Plenty of time
in his gown, you know.
Yeah, his gown?
Yeah, that's how I envision it. Just like a dressing gown, box shorts.
Like a silk gown.
Do you know what I was going to say?
Crunchy nut on your chest because you've been eating bowls of cereal.
Pornhub?
I don't know what that
is. Again, questionable things for the new year for us to reflect on.
what about Pornhub? He's lost it. So you've got. Hang on. In your mind, oh, you're thinking of a man in a, and I said silk, admittedly, dressing gown in his boxers.
But you went with silk.
It can't not be. With Pornhub.
You said bashing it out.
Okay, fair.
My mind's
but I didn't make up the rest of it.
Well, no.
But no, my point is though, would you?
Sorry, Rian.
Sorry, not sorry. But you can't stop people from writing. That's nonsense, right? You can't say stop your imagination. These people work all the time, so he must have something. He just obviously can't outwardly say he's done it.
If that's something you're doing, as you know, you're passionate about, that's your job. I just can't envision giving that up. Do you know what I mean?
No, you can't. Eve, yeah. I know there's more to the writing process, by the way, listener. So he's collaborating, he's doing rewrites and stuff, and he's got to, you know, get other people to read over it. But and all that stuff he obviously can't do, but come on. He didn't waste those 5 months.
He also goes on to say, I've got the premise, I've got the setting, I've got the movie in my head. It's just a matter of writing the damn thing.
Which he's already done.
Which he's already done, because he's just covered the all bases there before he says writing the damn thing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, looking forward to that one if it comes out this year. I mean, The Glass Onion came out of nowhere.
No, it really did. That was, we got a trailer and then it was out like 2.5 months later.
So, Netflix generally churn out things quite quickly once the ball's rolling.
They did actually release Glass Onion for a week before it hit streaming.
Yes.
In cinema, I guess Rian will do the same.
So I think, when I mentioned Netflix, I think it came out just before Christmas, if I recall.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So that's it. That's a very questionable Knives Out 3.
Insight to how you think, Dan. Let's hope you never have to go on strike.
Slap a knee on this one.
You're gonna have to. Honourable mentions, I've got If.
If?
17th of May, 24. Starring Ryan Reynolds, director John Krasinski's kid friendly fantasy suggests that your childhood imaginary friends don't go away once their underage creators no longer need them around. Trailer's just dropped. It's like a teaser trailer. They're just hanging around, invisible to naked eye. Only, it turns out that both an adult, who's Ryan Reynolds, and a girl, Kaylee Fleming, can actually see them, which presents more than a few problems for this duo. So it sounds like a bit like The Others.
Yeah.
Or perhaps The Sixth Sense, but for childhood imaginary friends. But not scary.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Reynolds, should be quite good. 17th of May.
Okay.
Trailer's out now, but it doesn't really reveal much.
Okay.
And my other honourable mention is Craven the Hunter.
Yes.
Which is in the summer, 30th of August. Aaron Taylor-Johnson donning the character's dope animal print outfit and getting his own solo outing before his inevitable meet-up with Spidey.
Looks like an absolute grit fest. I remember watching the trailer
thinking, it's dark,
like,
isn't it?
Christ, this is violent.
Yeah, I don't think it's R-rated, using the American term, 18 or whatever, 15 now. But it looks really dark.
Mm.
And I'm more excited for Craven just because Aaron Taylor-Johnson is phenomenal. We talked about our wrap-up, I think, a couple of episodes ago, Bullet Train.
Yes, yeah, we did.
You've got to see it, Dan. Aaron Taylor-Johnson, that blows everyone out of the water. And he's up against Brad Pitt. And Brad Pitt's great as well. Aaron steals the show. He's so good. In this, I wasn't sure about casting 4 years ago, whenever it was. Now, I definitely am. And he's big. He's bulk.
Yeah.
I'm actually more for Craven than I am Madam Web.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one.
So, I'm waxing lyrical on it, but it's one of my honourable mentions. And as I say, that's late summer. Craven Hunter. You got awesome. Any honourables?
I don't.
Yeah?
I think we sort of covered most of them, but I mean, we generally talk about these things as we go through the year anyway.
We do.
Didn't. I tell you what, we haven't done for the last couple of years. We haven't done like a mid-year film.
True, because new stuff does get announced towards the end. But the thing is, though, I'll talk about now, the writer's strike at some point is going to hit, and it's going to hit hard.
Oh, yeah.
And we had that in 2018, 2019, was it? When that was the writer's strike?
I think we did.
And we felt the bite in, I think, the fall of that year, the autumn, because that's just when you tend to get loads of series out.
Yeah.
And we had nothing, and that was quite a tough couple of months, right?
It was.
when it gets cold outside, the night starts drawing in earlier, you turn to the sofa and you watch something. There's nothing to watch. There's plenty to re-watch, but there's nothing new. And I wonder when that's going to happen. So you might want to perhaps do a mid-year, but you may have not an awful lot to talk about.
I say, you might not have anything at all.
No.
So let's hit TV and streaming.
Yep.
I'll cover the honourable mentions already, all the MCU stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Echo, which is out now at the time of recording, 10th of Jan. We've got X-Men 97, which is due out earlier this year. Looking forward to that.
Agreed.
Agatha Coven of Chaos, which is out in the fall or autumn for us UK listeners. We've haven't got dates for them yet. We've got Friendly Neighbourhood Spider-Man, which is like the early adventures before Homecoming. Eyes of Wakanda, which is again
all animated.
Yep. And then Marvel Zombies as well.
Apparently. Oh yeah. Isn't there supposed to be What If season 3?
I've read it's next year, 2025. Oh, okay. But there was a trailer before the year end of 2023, and it does look quite good. But we'll see. Have you caught up on What If yet?
Not all of it. I'm about halfway through.
Okay. Well, know your thoughts.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought season 2 was better than season 1. But
I'm in love with Captain Carter still. I mean, she stole the first season, the second season. I'm all for it. But who knows how that story arc lands. I haven't finished the season.
Yeah.
Probably not well, let's face it. But anyway, should be good.
But in typical most anticipated episode, we cover the MCU stuff very quickly because we like to
talk about it all the time.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. So I'll kick things off with Fallout.
I've got this.
Have you?
Amazon.
April 12th. The creators of Westworld, Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, are once again bringing a retro futuristic world to life with a TV adaptation of the popular video game series Fallout. I played Fallout 4, but I didn't play any of the previous games. But I remember it being really hard. I played 3,
and it was hard.
Mm.
So we talked about this before, so I won't bore you listening if you've caught up over the last 5 years of us recording. But I got out of the vault, which I enjoyed the vault, and you kind of building your persona through story decisions. You got out of the vault, I was like, I'm going to go do some... It's telling me to go to this city, but I don't want to. I'm going to go and have a look around and perhaps get some loot before I go to the city. No, you're fucking not. I went to a school and I got killed by a raider or some bug decided to jump out. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, Dan.
No, I didn't. I had no idea.
I'm not enjoying this. Turned it off. No, actually, I went back to the shop and handed it back in. It was second hand anyway.
Mm.
I was like, nah, I'll just get something else. And usually I stick with the game, but I was like, nah, not for me.
Fallout 4 was so hard. So hard. Mm. I did try and stick with it, but like you say, you go roaming. And
you're not allowed. You can't.
You've got this big beastie that's going to just slay you.
There's just no... And that's fine. That's how the game plays. But that's not how I play.
No.
And that's fine. Everyone's different. But I... Yeah. Wasn't for me.
This Prime Video series is set in the same post-apocalyptic world, but tells its own companion story rather than directly adapting stories told in the games.
Oh, okay.
Set 219 years after nuclear war permanently changed humanity, Fallout will tell the story of Lucy, played by Ella Purnell, a young woman who has lived her entire life in a subterranean vault created by the wealthy to survive the war centuries before. Forced to leave her sheltered life for a rescue mission on the surface, Lucy will now have to learn how to navigate a lawless land filled with ghouls, mutants, those pesky mutants, and humans willing to do whatever it takes to survive. The series also stars Walter Goggins, Aaron Motton from Disjointed, Kyle MacLachlan, and Moises Arias from Hannah Montana.
There you go.
But it sounds really good.
It does, and the trailer looks great. Looks tonally what you'd expect, doing the jump from the TV screen to the big screen.
Yeah.
Well, to the TV series. Still the TV screen, isn't it? It made my list. Hopefully I enjoy the series more than the game.
Yeah, same.
Apple TV Plus.
Let's go.
Masters of the Skies. Due this month, end of the month, 26th. The series takes to the skies as it follows the 100th bombardment group of the US States Army Air Forces during the Second World War. Now, did you ever watch Band of Brothers, Dan? Was it 1999, 2000?
Yeah, it was quite early on in the noughties, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I want to say you're right. It might be the 90s. I'm not sure. But I did sort of briefly watch it, yeah.
Really good. It still holds up today. It's well revered. And what they did was they kind of intertwined kind of stories told by veterans, so real people, documentary style.
Yeah.
And the programme acted out by famous people, or now more famous people, the stories of those people. It's really interesting, and it's so well directed. Cost a gazillion pounds and dollars and took years to film. So this is like 20 plus years set from that universe, and it's like the spiritual successor.
Okay.
So loads of people say, oh yeah, we want more. And I don't know about you, Dan, but you don't really, in the last, 10, 15 years, we haven't really seen much World War content.
No.
Like, you know, games, Call of Duty used to be every other year was a World War game. They stopped doing that now, maybe because it weren't selling. So maybe we're going back into that churn. But yeah, it's Master of the Skies, and it's a companion series to Band of Brothers, as I mentioned. And it's an equally stacked series full of then and upcoming superstars. But I reckon you're going to get lots of nail-biting dogfights and the rest of it. It's going to be really good. The kicker is on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult to get your hands on legitimate otherwise that stuff, but I think it's going to be good. So that's why I've only got two. I have got a streaming, but it's a cheat. It's a Disney Plus movie that's landing pretty soon. But otherwise, those are my two.
I've got three more. One of them's already started, actually, on BBC. The Tourist, Season 2.
Oh, okay.
It stars Jamie Dornan and Danielle McDonald, and they return as Elliot and Helen for the second season of the BBC drama. This time, the drama moves from Australia to Ireland, where Elliot is seen in the trailer being kidnapped and Helen on the hunt to find him.
Oh.
What makes this fascinating is that Jamie Dornan's character, Elliot, in season one, he's out in Australia, but he can't remember anything.
Oh, I remember the trailer to this, yes. Never saw it.
Yeah, it's really good. Mm. I highly recommend people check out The Tourist if they can get their hands on it. Jamie Dornan's fantastic. It's a little bit gritty, but at the same time, it sort of puts enough humour in it to sort of keep you sort of ticking over.
Yeah.
One of my recommendations early in the year. This one hasn't got a release date, but The Night Manager Season 2.
Yes, I did see that announced as well, yeah.
Season 1 was phenomenal, starring Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddes.
The world fell to its knees when the first season of The Night Manager hit our screens in 2016. It's been that long.
Wow.
Introducing us to Tom Hiddleston's former military officer, Jonathan Pine. It was based on John le Carré's novel. It was a slick and sexy spy offering, and one we thought we'd left back in the 2010s. However, it was announced this year that not only will The Night Manager be back, but Hiddleston will be returning too.
Brilliant.
There's no word yet on where this espionage caper will take us, and no word of when it will appear.
But hopefully this year.
Hopefully this year.
Because you're talking about anticipated this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And lastly, I have got The Mandalorian Season 4.
Again, no release date.
The last we heard before the WGA and SAG-AFTRA strikes was that The Mandalorian Season 4 had been fully written by Jon Favreau. Filming will likely take place in the near future as studios work out their scheduling and slates, meaning that there's a chance we could still see Season 4 in the late 2024. Season 3 ended with Din Djarin, Grogu, Bo-Katan and Axe Wolves stopping Moff Gideon once and for all. Well, we hope. After reclaiming Mandalore, Bo-Katan takes her place as leader with the support of her people. We've got Din and Grogu then return to Navarro and settle in a small house on the edge of town. Because Season 3 takes place concurrently with the first season of Ahsoka, I still haven't finished that. I need to get on to that.
It is good. It's gritty and it's dark, but it's good.
There's a chance that Season 4 could see the New Republic dealing with Thrawn's return. Din and Teeva have already entered an agreement to work together and take down Imperial remnants, and it's likely that there will be even more that appear with Thrawn back in the picture.
Yeah.
But that's my streaming. and TV.
I've got one that kind of straddles TV, streaming and films.
Oh.
Just around the corner, 16th of Jan, Disney Plus. Any guesses? Already talked about it in this episode.
Oh, have we?
Indirectly. The Marvels.
Oh, the Marvels, yeah.
Being released. We won't talk about it anymore. We've talked about it quite a few times. Guys, haven't seen it, please watch on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Don't go with any expectations. Also, don't listen to the incels that are moaning and crying into their keyboards in their mother's basements. Watch it and have fun.
Yeah.
That's all 100%. We need to say. And if you want to hear a review, we've got an On The Go, which is spoiler-free. Perhaps if you haven't listened to that, go listen to that.
Yeah.
And then go watch on Disney Plus if you've got it, or you can get hold of it, or visit someone's house who's got it. And then we've got the review afterwards. But have fun. That's all I'm going to say. We've milked it. We talked about it. We are cheerleaders for it. But go have fun. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Agreed.
But just around the corner, Dan. 16th of Jan. Just a mere week away.
Yeah, it's blinding.
From recording. Yeah.
What have we got next?
Games.
And then I've got some music.
Perfect.
Let's hit the games. What you got first?
Got four. Some trepidation. I talked about this at the top of the episode. Suicide Squad.
Put your teeth in.
Yeah. Kill the Justice League. It was my most anticipated in 23. Never landed. Pushed back. Needed to polish. It's on PS5, Series X. Not Series S, interesting enough. And PC. It's slated, and they've now committed to an advert, so it's going to go gold. They're going to commit it to printing discs or ready to ship 2nd of Feb.
Yep.
It's going to happen. It apparently sees you playing as our squad of chaotic semi-heroes, squad up as Harley Quinn, King Shark, Deadshot, or Captain Boomerang, with bots of other players taking a role as the other four as you play. Now, set in the Batman Arkham universe, Rocksteady has already said that this is a continuation of the previous games, which is good, because games since have not had any affiliation. So we're already in safe hands. Partly safe hands. So prepare for some of the existing threads and storylines to come to fruition, it says. Lots of people are not sure about this. The concept's interesting. So the Justice League, they've gone bad, Dan.
Yep.
They've been taken over by the evil starfish, I've forgotten his name, and basically needs to be taken down.
Oh boy.
So they've called in the Suicide Squad, and you've got to each Justice League member take him out.
Is it going to be a little bit like the Arkham games, or is it no sort of relevance?
No, this one is a little bit, it's a third person, and you're basically traversing, I think it's Metropolis it's based in. Very colourful, very bombastic, frantic, fast-paced, and it's very, very tonally different to anything that I have seen. It looks fun, but there's some questions about whether or not actually it comes off, and tonally whether it actually hits. Mm. So we'll see. That's not the only game I've got worries about this year, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. But yeah, Suicide Squad, Kill Justice League, just around the corner, 2nd of Feb. I don't know whether I'm going to get it. I don't think I'm invested enough. So it's one of the ones I'm going to sit on the fence, wait for the reviews to come in, think about it, and I might partake. But the mechanics should be polished. It should be good. It's rock steady. So they're well versed in this IP. I just don't know whether there'll be enough really to enjoy. But that's my first one, Suicide Squad.
I've only got a couple, so hopefully I'll be getting a PS5 this year after.
Ooh, yeah.
I've got a most anticipated event, or couple events, actually, should I say. Once one of them is out of the way, the big one, PS5, so it's going to happen this year, Alex. So my first is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, scheduled for release on PlayStation 5 on February 29th this year. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is a direct continuation of the overarching narrative first introduced in Final Fantasy VII Remake from 2020. So it's been 4 years. and reimagines the plot, world, and cast of the original Final Fantasy VII from 1997.
Okay.
The game takes place on a nondescript world simply known as The Planet, and centres on the journey of the principal characters as they seek to both end the tyranny of the Shinra Electric Power Company, who control the metropolis, Megalopolis, should I say, of Midgar, by weaponizing the ethereal power source known as the Lifestream, and defeat Sephiroth, a legendary veteran of Shinra's elite soldier unit of enforcers, who was presumed dead, and is now attempting to summon the destructive magic meteor to wound the planet, which will enable him to unite with the Lifestream and attain godhood. Rebirth will span the events from leaving Midgar to the Forgotten Capital in the original game, though the order in which locations are explored is not the same as the original game.
Oh, right, okay.
Now, interestingly, they've actually confirmed that there will be other or new cities in the game that you can visit.
Mm.
So you're actually not stuck in one place this time from the remake, where you're just stuck in Midgar.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
This is all open world now.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to this. I've just completed Remake. It was good. I enjoyed it. I know some of the hardcore fans aren't keen because it has sort of reimagined the story a little bit. And it does sort of... It sort of hones in on a lot about destinies.
Okay.
And every time you try to change your destiny, these whispers come along and try and keep you on that course. So I'm interested to see how this story goes and how it continues to be reimagined. Come at me.
Or not.
Or don't.
Yeah.
I won't fight you, I promise.
Unless you're a Cub Scout.
True that.
Okay, next one. This is the other one I'm really worried about.
Okay.
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones?
Yeah, PS5, Xbox Series X, again, no S, PC. Just around the corner, a month away, as of recording, 16th of Feb. Ubisoft's spiritual successor to Assassin's Creed Black Flag. That game was the fucking bomb. It was one of the best, in a good way, it's one of the best Assassin's Creeds outside of the Ezio saga. Do you ever play Black Flag?
No, I never really got into the Assassin's Creed games.
So good. Like, they nail seafaring and upgrading your ship and take over forts and basically plundering. They had a mobile app that you had, like a companion app.
Yeah.
You could play that and then it would transfer to your account. So you could do things out of the game as you're on the bus or you're going to work or whatever. Then we get home, the money transfers. And it's in real time. So you'd set your fleet, or you'd acquire fleets or ships in the game.
Mm.
You could use those ships to then do missions off game on the app. Oh, so good, so well, so executed. They're trying to basically make a game that is just purely focused on naval sea battles. The reason why I'm nervous, Dan and listeners, is because this has been mothballed for the last 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
It was announced a long, long time ago. Had release dates, then it was indefinitely put on pause. It's now resurfaced. And although it's been developed by people who have done a lot of the Black Flag previously, it's apparently promising a sweeping solo campaign as you try and take over the waters of the Indian Ocean. So it is like Pirates of the Caribbean-esque. Mm. Well, not Caribbean's Indian Ocean, but it's similar-esque. The real focus looks like to be the player versus player ship skirmishes online. Now, I have played Sea of Thieves, and it is fun. It's tongue-in-cheek. But you... As the game matures, people have the big warships and you go out there in your little skiffs and you get ruined and you never can build up your enough experience or money or plunder to buy the big stuff because you always get picked off by these, understandably, 14-year-olds been playing there for the last 10 years.
Getting picked off by people younger than us.
Which, if you do the maths, they're 4 years old when they first started playing. But yeah, so I think it's a difficult thing to do in order to protect players who want to join that game. But anyway, that's their problem, not mine. Apparently there are supernatural elements amidst all the cannon fire, like the colossal tentacles of a terrifying kraken lurking in the deep. So it's leaning heavily into that kind of that lore.
Yeah.
So it should be good. They know their stuff. Black Flag was lots of fun. Recently, there's been a closed beta that was by invitation only. I don't know whether they should have said this, but a lot of people were saying it was boring.
Oh, dear.
Now, it's a beta. So you're targeting certain things to iron out. So perhaps the things that they were testing inherently wasn't interesting, but were fundamental.
Mm.
But there were quite a few people who independently said, it's a boring game. And that worries me, Dan, listener.
Oh, dear.
However, if you haven't played, like Dan, Black Flag, I can recommend it. You don't have to play any of the Assassin's Creed games because it's actually set alone. It's set apart. Such a good storyline. It's really lots of fun. You can upgrade your ship. You go and you plunder. You take on forts. You can commandeer other ships and add to your fleet. It's really good. So if you haven't played that, play that. Whilst you're waiting or R&Ring like I am about Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
But that's my second one, but I'm really worried, Dan. I know.
My second choice, well, it hasn't got a release date, but we've been looking at the deets before we start recording.
Oh, yeah.
Jurassic Park Survival.
I don't know how I forgot this, but I think it's because we were talking before off air. We've only had a teaser trailer, so in my defence, hasn't hit my radar. But it's looked good.
It does look really good. Return to Isla Nublar the day after the events of the beloved 1993 Jurassic Park film in an original adventure 65 million years in the making.
I mean, would you really go back there, though?
I think it's based on a survivor, isn't it?
It is.
Someone that was stuck on the island after everyone bloody buggered off and left there. Survived thrilling first-person action as InGen scientist Dr. Maya Joshi, who was unable to evacuate Isla Nublar in this single-player action-adventure game and discover a never-before-told story. I enjoy stuff like this. Through thrilling encounters, experience and wonder and danger of dinosaurs, each with their own distinct and adaptive behaviours brought to life by John Hammond's vision. Adventure through a fully realised Isla Nublar filled with reactive wildlife, dinosaurs and other surprising threats. From the iconic towering park gates to the visitor centre and beyond, Jurassic Park comes alive like never before. Outsmart, escape and interact with the film's iconic dinosaurs. We've already seen raptors and Dilophosauruses.
Oh, yes.
Which looks... The graphics look so good.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Use your ingenuity through distraction and stealth to navigate intense and unforgettable encounters in a journey to outlast some of the deadliest creatures to ever walk the earth. Explore the park and face its dangers. Use all the resources at your disposal to find intelligent solutions to endure the many threats lurking on Isla Nublar.
Bit of a puzzler.
Let's hope that's not boring.
I don't think it's going to be, let's face it.
It looks like it's got some elements of horror.
Yeah. Survival horror for sure.
Edge of the seat stuff, yeah. So hopefully that's this year. But we don't know.
We do not know at the time of recording.
At the time of recording, but we'll keep you posted.
Is that it for your games?
That was it for me for games. So I've got a big gaming backlog. So for Christmas, I got Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which made the 2023 awards.
It did.
Do we need to put another link for that for your YouTube as well?
We didn't do thanks, Dan.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it really. I've got a lot of games to get through.
And you do.
Plus Spider-Man 2 when I get that Xbox. No, PlayStation.
He's drunk.
I'm drunk.
Two more games for me, then that's the end of my anticipated, actually.
Ooh.
Black Myth Wukong. PC, PlayStation 5, PS4, Series X, Xbox One. So, interesting enough, it's one of the final games to be included in the old gen.
Mm.
20th of August. It's a complex combat system comprised a host of unique powers, abilities and combos to bolster the Monkey King's Kung Fu-inspired melee moves. The latter largely involving whacking foes with a giant bamboo stick. From what we've seen so far, Black Myth is certainly one for fans of the best from software games. Check out from when it launches in late this year. Well, it's in the summer. Effectively, it takes the Monkey King mythical lore from China and basically like an anthropomorphic character. I guess you're more monkey than man, but you're a monkey man. and basically you're taking on lots of larger than life enemies, but the kung fu is fast and frantic. There is button mashing, but I think there's most combos to really work out and to devastate. And the graphics look phenomenal. And it was announced, and this must be Alpha 2.5 years ago, and it looked sick then. And since then, obviously, the world's a different place, and they've thought about it and they've done a little bit more polishing. I'm really looking forward to this one. And this might end up being a PlayStation 5 game. So I talked about it before. I tend to just get the PlayStation exclusives on the PlayStation and play everything else on the Xbox.
Yeah.
But this game, I think, should be warranted on the PlayStation 5 technology. So I think this one is going to be a PS5 for me and break my trend. But yeah, Black Myth Wukong. So if you haven't seen or heard about it, there's trailers online. Go take a look. I think this might be a sleeper hit in the summer. And then one that a lot of people are talking about now, Star Wars Outlaws.
This nearly made my list, actually.
Looks bloody very brilliant. Nearly. To be confirmed, 24. So I'm doing a bit of a Dan here.
Yeah.
There's not an actual release date. And if I was a betting man, they'd make absolute bang, or bank, shall I say, at the end of the year. So I reckon there's going to be a Christmas job.
Yeah.
The first ever open world Star Wars game. So of course, Jedi Survivor or whatever. It's not really open world. You can travel, but
very linear, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Or they're very narrow. This apparently is open world, where you play as Kay Vass. After she gets a bounty on her head and becomes the most wanted in the galaxy, she has to pull off the biggest heist of the Outer Rim has ever seen. Work with crime syndicates or make enemies of them. The choice you make will define the story. You can go on your speeder, you can upgrade your ship, there's dogfights, there's transitions from the ground to space. It's everything I think someone who wants a good, decent sci-fi game would want. And anyone who wants a good, decent, new IP that has all the things that you talked about for Star Wars. It looks great. The key is, it looks great, but actually will it be, and does it have enough polish? And they've announced and shown an awful lot at the moment. But the question is whether or not actually that ends up being the case. I don't see it flopping because they've done very well in the recent Star Wars games, but you never know. No. So, no release date yet, but my money's on fall, winter this year. That's one I genuinely can't wait to play because it looks really, really good.
Agreed.
So, Star Wars Outlaws.
I mean, every year I always have music, but my list isn't actually that astronomical this year, which is unusual. And I think the music industry, I might be wrong, is shifting. You generally now get bands to go, here's a single. Oh yeah, by the way, we're going to release an album. They don't ever really give you much notice these days. So first up, we've got Neck Deep, We Need More Bricks, which will be out at the time this episode drops, 12th of January. Always found this band really hard to get into. Phenomenal pop punk band.
Some of their stuff's really good.
Yeah, their newer stuff just slaps.
So I'm really
looking forward to this. Sum 41, Heaven Hell. No release date yet, but this is going to be their last album ever.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I mean, most bands say that, don't they? They go, we're breaking up, that's it, we're done now. And then
the funding runs
10
out.
10 years down the line, they go,
do a reunion.
Oh, we're back. Yeah. Interesting how that goes. Their single Landmines, I think it was called, was quite good.
Okay.
Going back to their roots, upbeat pop punk.
Yeah.
Of course, our boy Alex Melton, who's always smashing out on YouTube.
Yeah, he's got his independent stuff, not covers, right?
Yeah, he's going to do an indie album this year. He's already teased something, and you know, from experience, writing your original stuff is really hard compared to... He does it better than anyone else. He's God tier. He can reinvent a song.
Yeah.
He'll go, oh, that country song, yeah, I'm going to make into a pop song.
Or a punk song.
Or that,
Or that punk song, rock song, is now a country song.
Exactly. He's God tier.
He's so good. He's insane.
And Death of Vanna have been teasing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So my boys, DH. Whether we'll see any new music this year or not, I don't know. But
we've been saying that most anticipated, haven't we?
It has been a couple of years since The President is a Foreign Land, which was a good album. But yeah, that's it for music this year. And no doubt we'll talk about it more as we go on into the 2024.
Excellent.
A couple of events I'm looking forward to.
Oh,
next month, I'm off to Tokyo. My other half got into the Tokyo Marathon. So
yeah, really exciting.
I'm looking forward to going to Tokyo and experiencing a new, different culture.
Going to have some omniyaki, the pancakes.
Get some different flavoured Kit Kats for a...
Sake.
Yeah.
Have you had sake before?
I don't know if I have.
I haven't had sake. I think I need sake.
I'll try and bring some home for us.
Yeah?
Well, we'll do a Japan tasting session. We'll do a YouTube video or something, yeah. Because we're going to do Kit Kats, right?
Yeah, we're going to do Kit Kat tasting.
Because that's going to be rank, right? Soy-flavoured Kit Kats.
We don't want to be disparaging of our wasabi. Japanese friends. I'm sure they've got perfectly the taste buds, just perhaps not our palate.
No.
But I'm looking to, all things aside, I'm looking to kind of see what it's all about, because we talked about before, they bloody love a Kit Kat, and surely someone must like them, because they're still making them.
Yeah. I mean, they've got like 300 odd flavours, which we talked about in Here We Go. Sorry, Alex. Mind-blowing facts.
Again, there's another link on YouTube. Yeah. Yeah, no, it should be good. It should be really good.
Yeah. In April, me and the missus are going to the O2. We're going to go see a WWE show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There is a story behind this. People are probably thinking, or long-term listeners going, Dan, you never mentioned you're into wrestling. Well, I wasn't really for a while. So I fell in love with it in sort of the late 90s, you know, the Stone Colds, the Rocks, the Canes and Undertakers and God knows what.
The classics.
Fell out of love with it about 2005. It just got a bit boring. But I've always sort of followed it loosely from afar.
Mm.
In the last year or so, the writing has been phenomenal. Like, just genuinely brilliant. And I started to watch it again seriously sort of last summer. And then one day I went down to watch Friday Night SmackDown. I'll record it overnight. And the missus went to me, can I watch wrestling with you? I was like, yeah, of course you can. You know, I'm not going to stop you from watching TV with me.
I thought you were going to say, she came downstairs and said, why are you in your silk dressing dressing gown?
Covered in crumbs.
Covered in crumbs and looking sweaty.
I mean, that could feasibly happen.
Yeah. I'm watching SmackDown, leave me alone. Turn off the lights.
We don't have Brian.
Don't look at me.
We don't have Brian any matches anymore.
Oh, okay.
They're not a thing, it's all PG friendly, you know.
Oh, good.
They've made it accessible for all ages,
good.
I guess, which is good.
Okay.
It doesn't mean wrestlers still don't get hurt or get busted open by accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, you know, they'll put like a blade in their head and like just.
Oh, yeah, flick it out.
Flick it, and they'll be like, oh my God, he's busted open, he's been hit by a chair. It's like, we know it's fake, but guess what? Your favourite TV shows are fake as well.
That's true.
Love Island, they're probably feeding them drugs.
How
in the background.
Dare you?
You're not a Love Island fan.
Nah, I've never seen it before in my life, nor do I intend to. Trivial.
I'm also just assuming that like there's a producer in the background. Hey, here's some drugs, you know, get these down before we go live.
That'll make good content, probably.
Do you know what would be really good content is a real life Jurassic Park. I think we talked about this, didn't
that's
we?
Dark.
Just shove them all on a survival team.
What, Love Island people on Isla Nublar?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, imagine that. Be so conflicted because you'd be watching going, I really fancy that woman, I've got a hard on. But she's getting torn apart by a Dilophosaurus. What? I'm so conflicted about what I'm watching. That's very dark.
Yeah,
that's a dark place you just went to. I'm sorry, listen, you didn't need to hear about that.
Either we've talked about that before or I'm just having deja vu.
It's the simulation,
which we'll talk about in the next episode. Yeah. Which is it's just bonkers.
I can't believe my mind's just taken us to a really dark place there.
Yeah,
anyway,
this has been a really raunchy episode of OTT this week.
Hot under the collar. There you go.
Yep, so that wraps it up for our...
Well, it nearly does. I'm just coming out of something left field at the last moment, because I actually remember that I got this. In mid-March, I'm going to the O2 to see John Mayer solo.
Oh, nice.
So it'll be my third time seeing him. Singer-songwriter, guitarist, he's phenomenal. I really can't wait, Dan. It's going to be so good. He's not often over here, doesn't often do world tours, but this time he says he's coming on his own. Now, sometimes he has his band with him, which is made up of musicians in their own rights. It's almost like a super group. Or he has backing people with him. Apparently, it's just him. But I mean, he's so talented. He'll probably have a loop pedal or something. But
yeah,
I can't wait. So yeah, really looking forward to that. But that's a notable mention. Come up this year for me.
I'm looking forward to that mini review before we do an episode in March.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Over to the listener. Right, let's kick things off.
I'm excited, Dan.
This is my favourite part.
For this episode, all episodes it is, but this one, it's really interesting to hear what people are generally up to and what they're going to be doing. Gives us ideas. Perhaps gives you ideas, listener. Really excited to see what people have got planned for their year.
Let's kick things off with Gemma. She says Taylor Swift. She didn't quite say what, but I think T-Swift has got a new album out this year.
Oh, okay.
If you're going to a gig, good luck getting tickets, because
you have to sell all your kidneys and hopefully live long enough to see it before you cark it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same with anything these days, though. We've just mentioned WWE. Me and the missus trying to get tickets for Bash in Berlin.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's the name of the event. I can't...
Continuing the X-rated theme on this episode?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
We tried to get tickets and they sold out in like 2 minutes.
Of course did.
And we were like 10,000 in the queue or something ridiculous. But yeah, Taylor Swift. Next up, we got Luke. He says, Pompey going up as champions. I don't want to jinx it, but we're on a bit of a blip at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm already getting PTSD from the 18-19 season where we were top at Christmas and then we just flopped.
Sounds like Liverpool as well this time of year.
And he says, on a personal level, another collab with Little Monster. So my friend Luke, he works for a brewery called Only With Love.
Mm-hmm.
Recently did a collab with Little Monster, who are, I mean, they're both phenomenal breweries on the South Coast. They're more, I mean, I think Little Monster's sort of Chichester based.
Okay.
Only With Love's just above Brighton.
But West Sussexy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Any craft beer lovers, check both of them out if you're not familiar with either. I highly recommend.
Good stuff.
Next one, we've got Joel. He said, 2024, Pompey promotion. There, I said it.
There you go.
Again, I'm not...
It's going to happen.
I'm not going to jinx it.
Positive mental attitude, Dan.
That 2018,
all you've got to do is rely upon everyone else to fuck it up.
Yes.
As long as you've got more points at the end of the season, doesn't matter.
No, true.
Or you could do a Steven Gerrard and lose it at the final game.
Ooh.
Or be usurped by an inflatable beach ball.
Yeah, that all happens.
That was horrible. Anyway, that won't happen. It's positive mental attitude. It's fine.
Next up, we've got Kelly. She says, Supermassive Games Directive 8020 and the new Silent Hill.
Oh, right.
Quite intrigued by the Jordan Peele Hideo Kojima collab 2.
Uh-huh. Which is going to be scary as hell with those two.
Which is, but I'm not sure when that's out.
Okay. Interesting.
Next up, we've got Multiverse Dan, one of our favourites.
Oh, yeah.
He always writes in. He says, Football Manager 2025, finally moving over to a new engine. Spreadsheet Manager going all futuristic, baby.
Interesting.
I could never get into Football Manager. I had it on my mobile phone, must have been early 2010s.
Mm.
I was awful at it. I don't know how these people play it and constantly win and get top of the league and then suddenly go up to the Premier League. I can't do it. I would lose like 10 matches in a row, you're fired.
That's more your fault than the game's, surely.
My tactics were good, mate.
Sure.
I was playing 4-5-1.
But when the game's called Football Manager and your managing tactics are appalling, it doesn't sound like it's a game problem.
Sounds like a new problem.
I never got into them, interesting and same, but I liked more, less simulated and more, I actually wanted to be, if I was going to lose, it was because I was crap at playing football in the game, you know, like the FIFA campaigns. But I can and do understand the attraction to it because there is, you can spend more time doing that behind the scenes management and the strategy as opposed to just be all over the place on the pitch and you're not really playing in a formation. So I totally get the attraction, but I've never really played it. But fair play.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Phil. He says, film-wise, after watching Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, I'm very much looking forward to part two.
Well, is it part two? They're going to rename it, but yes, it's whatever it's going to end up being. I 100% agree.
We are on board with that, and we'll probably do an on-the-go slash spoilery review afterwards.
Definitely, most definitely.
Next up, we've got Zach. He says, I know nothing about next year. I'm well out of loop of everything I'm excited about is older. And that's absolutely fine. Okay. You can look forward to things that are out before.
That's fine.
It's all good. Everything goes here.
Yeah.
Watching season two of The Wheel of Time or reading third Dune book.
Oh, it's good. It's a good reading.
Yeah. He says playing Baldur's Gate 3 or playing the Witcher board game I bought about a year ago and still haven't even fully opened.
Aye.
That's dedication if you've still got it sat there.
Yeah.
All
time
up.
To perhaps catch up and enjoy those things you've been putting off.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Dale. He said, my most anticipated movie is Robert Eggers' remake of Nosferatu. I hope I've pronounced that right for Dale, because he might come and beat me up. He's a Viking.
Okay.
Next up, we've got James. He says, The Boys for TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Deadpool 3 for film.
Obviously. Good choices.
Leighton up next. He says, Turkey in June.
Lovely. To eat or to visit?
To visit.
Okay.
Greece in August.
Wow.
Turkey in September. Cobra Kai. Of course, we've missed that off our list this year.
We have. The last and final season.
Which we'll no doubt review.
Most definitely.
Seeing the DMAs again. Making an effort to go out more in the evenings.
Okay.
He lives in Northern Ireland. Beautiful part of the country.
Owns a farm?
Stunning beaches. He doesn't own a farm, but he has 5 sheep in a field which he borrows from a farmer.
I mean, now we're splitting hairs. There's a field with sheep in, but he's not a farmer. But hey, who am I to question?
Yeah. He's a sheep whisperer. He'll literally, he can go out, his garden backs off onto a field. He'll go out to the end of his garden, he'll whistle, and those 5 sheep will come running. Sheep whisperer,
Very cool.
Finally, what Rob, he says, a world free of nauseas. And if anyone's wondering what a nause is, it's a really irritating person or someone who is being really annoying at the time.
Narrows it down.
I mean, there's a lot of nauseas out there. We talk about them all the time here.
What grinds your gears? Yes. Did do one last year. Perhaps we'll do one this year.
I think we need to. We didn't really have a lot to moan about last year.
Yeah, which is odd for us. Because we can be grumpy.
Yeah.
But perhaps this is a year.
I mean, oddly, e-scooters aren't annoying me that much anymore.
That's because not many around are getting clamped down.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Bastards.
E-cigarettes. They're blowing up.
Yeah. Everything's blowing up these days.
Yeah.
Electric bikes, electric scooters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they're banned on public transport in the UK.
Anything with a dodgy battery in it.
Teslas.
Don't know much about those.
Cars.
Self-driving cars?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not in this country. In the US, you can pay extortionate amounts of money to unlock that software behind a paywall, and then it'll self-drive.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
In this country, it hasn't passed laws for good reason.
Isn't that an Elon Musk invention?
Yeah, it's Musk.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. It's batshit.
Well, that rounds up for ours and your most anticipated 2024. But of course, keep it all coming in.
Yeah. Did we miss any? Is there anything that you think, guys, you haven't talked about, you know, this TV series? Or what about this fringe or left field film? Mm. Get in contact, let us know, tell us about it. And generally, we will talk about it in a latter episode. Perhaps we'll even as you said, Dan, maybe do a mid-year. Because actually, there's plenty that will come out of the woodwork now. They would have missed the opportunity to talk about.
Yeah. So we haven't really done it for the last couple of years. But then we had the pandemic where, of course, things went on hold or slowly trickled out. But, we've had the writer's strike and all that as well now. So
Who
knows?
Who knows what's going to happen?
We just play it by ear, don't we? We just do whatever we want here.
Shoot from the hip.
I mean, the next episode's proper left field again.
100%.
Which, I mean, doing the research is batshit crazy.
I mean, your brains will leak from your ears within a matter of minutes, but it's all for good entertainment purposes.
It ties into some previous episodes, which are probably worth checking out.
which you can get in our rabbit hole playlist on YouTube.
Oh, you've got a playlist now.
Got a playlist on there. There's all of the episodes on there. You've got Mandela Effect, Folklore Tales.
Conspiracy Theories. Conspiracy Theories. Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah. They're all on there. So, and it's all connected.
Yeah.
Well, partially connected. Sort of.
So we're going to be talking about simulation theory. Are we living in a giant computer? Are we real life Sims?
Are you real, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I can feel pain.
He just bit his finger, by the way.
Yeah, no one can see that. No one can just see. Just you.
But you did.
Yeah. Yeah. But what are your thoughts? I mean, we've seen cities in the sky, and we're not talking about heaven. We're talking, like, legit
actual cities
in the sky. So it might be worth hitting our socials, which I'll mention in a second. But we want your thoughts. Are we in a life simulation, or are we not? And you can get in touch. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, which is at On The Topic Pod. And then we've got Gmail, which is On The Topic Podcast at gmail.com. And Alex, we've got it's not Anchor anymore.
Not.
I keep saying it's Anchor. Spotify for podcasters. So I'll put a link in all of our socials. And you can leave us a voice message like some of our previous listeners if you want to get involved and have your voice heard.
Yes, please.
We've got WordPress and YouTube.
We do, yeah. It's our website. It's on thetopicpodcast.wordpress.com. Go and have a look. See our ugly mugs, our bios, our affiliate content provider, Morbid and Mundane. We've got all of our episodes on there, the whole back catalogue. You've got our newsletter, so be subscribing to that and notified when a new episode drops. We've got some bonus content as well.
We do.
Some things to read up on, some things we expand upon from this podcast. And then we've got our YouTube channel. I've talked about it before. I'm going to be busy editing, Dan. Thanks for that.
Sorry about
that. On Topic OTT, GITS, or On Topic Podcast on YouTube. Go subscribe, hit the notification bell, and stream it when you're cooking, when you're walking around the house, if you've got work, and you want to watch something in the background. You do, and we are seeing those numbers. Thank you for listening and subscribing and for streaming. Continue to do so, and soon we'll do, I guess, Kit Kat eating, chomping, reviewing, getting drunk on sake. How cool will that be?
That's gonna be fun.
Not for the listener watching us slowly descend into madness.
Absolute chaos.
Chocolate buzzing on our faces whilst we're half cut or fully cut on sake. It's gonna be amazing.
And we've got some life stuff happening coming up, so we might have a lull, we might not. We don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens. We're going to play it by ear, but the start of this year might be a little bit challenging. But it's all good.
It's all good.
Just stick with us.
Yeah. And in the meantime, we'll throw out some vaults, and you can see some of our back catalogue, some of our past episodes to tide us over.
Yes, do. Check those out. Yeah. And that's it. That is it for another week. Well, I'm off to check out some of the trailers for some of your recommendations, Alex. I've been Dan.
I'm going to go and fetch my my silk dressing gown and go and sit in front of the TV with a box of tissues and some crunching out. I'm Alex.
He's broken me. And we'll see you next time.